Mahabharata, Chapter 62. Yudhisthira will be captured. Again the armies collided on the field of Kurukshetra for the 11th day of battle. Karna, coming fresh into the fight, carved a path of destruction through the Pandava forces. The Kaurava soldiers were delighted as they witnessed him causing havoc among their foes. Surely the Pandavas will soon flee. Here is Karna, capable of crushing the celestial armies. Bhishma has treated Kunti's sons with tenderness, but Karna will not spare them. The din of battle resounded for miles, sending animals in distant forests bounding away in fear. Billowing clouds of dust, like heaps of tawny silk, rose up and obscured the sun. Weapons fell in thick showers on both armies, and the terrifying slaughter began once again. Drona charged headlong into the Pandava army. He fired thousands of razor-sharp arrows that tore apart the warriors who stood before him. The fighters fell like rows of cranes before a gale. Invoking celestial weapons, Drona destroyed his enemies as Indra destroys the Asuras. The Pandava army quaked before Drona as he ranged about like Yamaraj, holding his death-dealing staff. Yudhisthira, alarmed at the destruction of his forces, spoke to Jishtadyumna. Check Drona's onslaught. No time should be lost. With a roar, Jishtadyumna charged Drona, followed by Bhima, the twins, Abhimanyu, and other warriors. They surrounded Drona and rained their arrows on his chariot. Drona's eyes rolled in anger. Working his bow with blinding speed, he repulsed his attackers like a storm blowing off clouds. He sent men and chariots reeling across the battlefield in all directions. Like a person insane, he roamed the field releasing fire-like weapons. Beholding Drona rushing upon them like an angered Yamaraj, the Pandava forces fled in confusion and terror. The terrific sound of Drona's bowstring was heard continuously. Just as Bhishma had done before him, he slaughtered the Pandava soldiers. At the same time, other great heroes among the Kauravas engaged with their counterparts. Many furious one-to-one battles took place between the leading warriors of both armies. Drona, his mind fixed on his promise to Duryodhan, plowed relentlessly into the Pandava forces. Yudhisthira was stationed in their midst, protected by many Maharatas who covered his chariot on all sides. Arjuna was close by, contending with a number of powerful chariot fighters who had been assigned the task of leading him away from his brother. As Drona burst through the ranks of soldiers in front of Yudhisthira, he was met by Kumar, a Panchala prince protecting Yudhisthira's chariot wheels. As Yudhisthira fired his long shafts at Drona, Kumara rushed toward him. The prince sent a volley of arrows at Drona that checked his progress. He pierced the Kuru preceptor with 100 shafts, laughing and roaring all the while. Not tolerating his attack, Drona regained his senses and fixed a broad-headed arrow upon his bow. Drawing it back to his ear, he fired it with deadly accuracy, severing Kumara's head from his body. Another Panchala prince, Simhasena, then struck Drona with 100 ferocious arrows, supported by his brother, Vyagradatta, who came at Drona screaming out his fearful battle cry. They both pierced Drona's arms and chest with their steel shafts. Unperturbed, Drona sent 2 razor-headed arrows in swift succession that cut off their heads. As those handsome heads, decked with golden earrings and helmets, dropped to the earth, Drona pressed on toward Yudhisthira. Seeing him approach the Pandava king, the Kaurava troops cried out, "Yudhisthira is captured!" Cries of distress went up from the Pandava army as Drona came over closer to Yudhisthira. Hearing the shouts, however, Arjuna rushed toward Drona, mercilessly mowing down the warriors who stood in his way, all that could be seen of Arjuna on his chariot, as he fought his way toward his brother, was a constantly spreading network of arrows. Above that shower flew Hanuman, roaring frightfully from the banner. Duryodhan ordered thousands of chariot fighters to charge Arjuna. Recklessly they advanced toward him. The battlefield around Arjuna appeared to be one mass of arrows. Charging into the impenetrable wall of shafts, the Kauravas were cut down, their chariots smashed. Drona found it impossible to approach Yudhisthira. His supporting divisions could do nothing to help him. They were being destroyed by the inflamed Arjuna. Those that were not killed turned and fled in fear. As Arjuna created a fearful destruction among the Kaurava army, the sun touched the western horizon. Drona blew his conch to withdraw his troops. Gradually, the two armies disengaged and returned to their camps, praising each other's heroism. Drona was dejected as he took his place by Duryodhan's side in the tent. He had been helpless in the face of Arjuna's prowess. Shamed at his inability to contain his own disciple, he said to Duryodhan, "I told you already that when Arjuna is by Yudhisthira's side, I will not be able to capture him. You must contrive some means to take Arjuna away from his brother. I will then snatch Yudhisthira, even before the eyes of Drishtadyumna and all the other troops. I will either achieve this or slay at least one of the Pandava's greatest fighters, whoever comes to Yudhisthira's aid. However, you need to ensure that Arjuna is busy elsewhere on the field." Hearing Drona speak, Susharma said, "Arjuna has humiliated me many times. He bears malice toward me and my brothers. Remembering this antagonism, I can hardly sleep at night. Let us therefore undertake the task tomorrow of contending with him. With 50,000 chariot fighters who will not retreat behind us, we will challenge Arjuna to combat. Either he will lay prostrate on the field, or the earth will be relieved of the burden of my brothers and me and our entire army." Duryodhan praised Susharma, and a cheer went up from the other kings. With his four brothers, Susharma took an oath before the sacred fire that he would fight to the death with Arjuna the following day. After Brahmins had sanctified his promise with mantras and holy water, he stood up and exclaimed, "If we do not slay Arjuna or become slain by him, let us attain the regions reserved for those who kill Brahmins, for drunkards, or for those who forsake one who has sought shelter, for those who have intercourse with another's wife, who are the slayers of cattle, who abandon their own mother, or who are atheists. We claim those regions if we flee from Arjuna in battle tomorrow. Otherwise, may we attain the everlasting realms of happiness." After taking this vow, Susharma and his brothers retired for the night, leaving Duryodhan enlivened and hopeful. Even if Susharma could not kill Arjuna, which seemed likely, he would at least give Drona the freedom he needed to capture Yudhisthira. Duryodhan smiled at Karna. Perhaps he would not need to slay Arjuna after all. Between the promises of Drona and Susharma, it seemed the war would end in another way. The Kaurava prince did not care. As long as he emerged victorious, by whatever means, that was all that mattered. He then rose from his seat and swept out of the assembly with his head held high, Karna following, grasping the hilt of his broad sword. Early on the 12th morning, news again reached Yudhisthira that Drona was intent on capturing him. He heard from his spies about Susharma's promise. When Arjuna was informed, he said to his brother, "Still you need not fear, O king. Here is Satyaki, my disciple, and my equal in every respect. He will remain by your side at all times. Even if I am away, you cannot be captured while he is present." Reassured, Yudhisthira issued orders for the day's battle. His forces were moving toward the fight, causing the earth to vibrate and raising clouds of dust as they proceeded in the formation shaped like an alligator. As soon as Arjuna appeared before him, Susharma, who stood ahead of the Kaurava army, challenged him. Bound by Kshatriya codes, Arjuna accepted the challenge and charged. He was immediately surrounded by 30,000 chariots of the Shamsaptakas and Trigartas. As the rest of the Pandava forces moved on across the plain to engage the other Kaurava troops, Arjuna began a furious battle with those fearless warriors. They let out deafening roars and hurled their weapons at him. Hearing their elated shouts, Arjuna said to Krishna, Just see, O son of Devaki, how these men, who are about to fall in battle, are transported with joy, when really they should be weeping. Or perhaps they are happy as they see before them heaven's glowing regions, which can never be attained by cowards. Arjuna lifted his gold-encrusted celestial conch and let out a mighty blast. All four quarters were filled with the sound. Horses passed stool and men fell from their chariots. Others were paralyzed with fear and stood motionless for a few moments. When the sound died away, they regained their senses and again roared. Taking up their bows, they fired thousands of shafts fletched with kanka feathers. In an instant, Arjuna had shot arrows to counter every one of his opponent's swift coursing shafts. They fell in pieces to the ground. Arjuna pierced all the foremost charioteers who were bearing down on him. Susharma and his brothers responded with sharp-pointed arrows that struck Arjuna's arms and chest. A huge shower of other steel arrows fell on Arjuna's chariot, like a swarm of black bees going toward a tree full of blossoms. Krishna drove the chariot and baffled the enemy attack. As he emerged from the hail of shafts, Arjuna fired razor-headed arrows that cut down his foe's standards. With arrows shot in swift succession, he slew the four horses of Sudaman, one of Susharma's brothers, and then cut off his head. As the prince fell from his chariot, his four brothers increased the fury of their attack. Tens of thousands of other chariot fighters and horsemen hurled their weapons at him from all sides. At the same time, the Narayan army from Dwarka rushed into the fight with terrible cries. Arjuna was completely engaged in the battle as the rest of the Pandava forces met the Kauravas some distance away. With their forces arrayed in a formation resembling an eagle, the Kauravas closed on their enemies. Drona, stationed at the head of the army, at once made for Yudhisthira. Satyaki charged Drona, releasing his swift arrows by the hundreds. He attacked the Kuru preceptor and rendered his two charioteers unconscious with a volley of arrows. Piercing his horses with even more arrows, he brought Drona's chariot to a halt. Drona was filled with rage, and he gazed at his antagonist with bloodshot eyes. Considering that Satyaki's time had come, he shot a dozen snake-like shafts that sundered his bow and pierced his armor. Unperturbed, Satyaki grasped another bow and replied with 30 of his own arrows. They struck Drona, and he spun around in his chariot and dropped his bow. Seeing their preceptor hard-pressed by Satyaki, other Kaurava fighters came to his aid. At the same time, other Pandava warriors joined Satyaki, and a fierce general fight followed. Drona quickly regained his senses and fought on in total rage. Thousands of Panchala and Matsya soldiers surrounded him, and he killed them all, including the two powerful princes, Satyajit and Satanika. Seeing his troops being mowed down, Drishtadyumna came forward with Sikandi. Along with Satyaki, Chekitana, and many other Pandava heroes, they managed to hold Drona in check. As the battle raged, the soldiers on both sides fell in waves. The battlefield was a morass of flesh and blood. Drona fought like a man possessed. The Pandava army quaked in fear as he released his celestial weapons that slew them by the thousands. Drona forced all his attackers to turn away from him in the fight. He could hardly be looked upon, and the Pandavas surrounding him were routed. Duryodhan laughed and spoke to Karna, who was there at his side. "Behold, Raideya, how these troops flee from the battle. They seem to spin around and around as they look for a path by which to escape from Drona. I think they have lost all taste for battle. Surely they are seeing the world as being full of Drona. How will they return to the fight? What can even Bhima do against the warlike preceptor?" Karna was in a graver mood. "That Pandava hero will never abandon the fight so long as life remains in him, nor will his brothers turn away from battle at any time. Remembering the woes you inflicted upon them, they will rush against us again and again. Even now the mighty Bhima is coming forward. Doubtlessly he will slay our forces in vast numbers. See, too, how Satyaki and Jishtadyumna are rallying back to the fight, along with the twins and numerous other Maharatas among our foes. All of them are bowing down on Drona with singleness of purpose. Let us prepare our forces without delay. Duryodhan looked across the field. He saw Bhima's chariot drawn by its four red horses racing toward Drona. Bhima was flanked by Jishtadyumna and Satyaki. The three warriors roared like lions as they approached the Kuru commander. Behind them came a great wave of chariot fighters and horsemen, releasing showers of arrows as they charged. Duryodhan broke from Karna and raced across the field, issuing orders for Drona's protection. A number of Kaurava heroes came between the Kuru preceptor and his assailants, and soon the fight resumed with full force. Duryodhan personally attacked Bhima, his mind seized with anger. At the head of a massive elephant force, he challenged the Pandava with insulting words. Bhima laughingly shot spiked arrows at the elephants. Drawing his great bow back to his ear, he sent his shafts with such force that they felled the elephants one after another. Bhima's chariot moved like the wind from side to side as he rained down his irresistible weapons. He dispersed his attackers like a tempest scattering clouds. The blood-soaked elephants, pierced all over, appeared beautiful, like dark clouds lit by the rays of the setting sun. Excited, Duryodhan approached Bhima and pierced him with a number of shafts. Bhima turned his blood-red eyes toward the Kaurava and licked his lips. Instantly he shot dozens of gold-winged arrows, which pierced Duryodhan deeply. With a broad-headed shaft, he brought down the black gem-encrusted serpent banner that flew above Duryodhan's chariot. He then severed Duryodhan's bow with another shaft, and then sent up a roar. Seeing the Kaurava leader afflicted by Bhima, the barbarian king leading the elephant division came forward on his massive beast. Without delay, Bhima struck the elephant between the eyes with a powerful shaft that stopped it in its tracks. With four more arrows, he brought the elephant crashing to the ground. As it fell, like a mountain struck by a thunderbolt, the barbarian chief tried to leap clear, but even as he jumped, Bhima cut off his head with a razor-headed arrow, fired with deadly accuracy. Seeing their leader slain, the other elephant warriors fled. Duryodhan tried to rally them, but without success. He moved away from Bhima and saw Bhagadatta coming up fast to assist him. The mighty fighter on his invincible elephant, Supratika, rushed toward Bhima, seeming to fly over the battlefield. Bhima fired his long shafts at the charging beast, but they fell harmlessly from his body. In a moment the elephant reached Bhima's chariot and crushed it along with its horses as Bhima jumped clear. Supratika reared up again and again, screaming in fury and looking around for Bhima. The Pandava ran beneath the beast and struck it with his bare arms. In pain, the elephant whirled around like a potter's wheel. Bhima came out from beneath it, and the elephant seized him in his trunk. Bhima spun around and freed himself from the twine of the trunk, and again hid beneath the screaming beast that was endeavoring to kill him. Yudhisthira saw Bhima and ordered a division of his own elephants to assist him. As Supratika was diverted by the attack of enemy elephants, Bhima saw his chance and dashed away. A battle then ensued between Bhagadatta and the Pandava forces mounted on elephants, led by the Dasharna king. They surrounded Bhagadatta and covered him with volleys of arrows. Bhagadatta fended off their shafts with his whirling hook. Goading Supratika forward, he trampled and crushed the enemy forces, like a storm crushing a forest. Chariots, horsemen, and infantry were mangled as the great beast rampaged across the field. Impervious to its foes' weapons, the elephant caused chaos among the Pandava forces. Soldiers fled and their animals cried in terror. Rising above the sound were Supratika's frightful screams as it thundered about the field unchecked. Some way off, Arjuna battled on alone against the Shamshaptakas and the Narayan army. As he fought, he could hear Supratika's screams. Recognizing that sound, he said, O Madhusudan, it is clear that the Pragjyotish ruler is annihilating our army. I doubt if anyone can stop this elephant except us. What then is my duty, O Krishna? I think I should proceed at once to where Bhagadatta is roaring out his battle cry. Dispatching him and his beast to death's abode, I will then return to this fight. Krishna agreed and urged Arjuna's horses toward the rest of the Pandava army. As they raced away, however, the Samsaptakas called out from behind, "Why do you flee from the fight? Turn and face us again, for you have not yet defeated us." Arjuna was caught in a dilemma. He wanted to save his army from Bhagadatta, but he could not avoid the Samsaptakas. No Kshatriya worthy of the name could refuse a challenge. He told Krishna to stop the chariot and turn around. First he would wipe out the entire Samsaptaka force, and then deal with Bhagadatta. As Krishna wheeled the chariot around, Arjuna still could not fix his mind. There were hundreds of thousands of warriors supporting Susharma and his army. They were spread out over a large area, and it would take hours to overcome them. By then, Bhagadatta and his unstoppable elephant might have done untold damage. Suddenly, the Samsaptakas launched a coordinated attack on Arjuna. Countless arrows descended upon his chariot, striking both he and Krishna. Krishna dropped the reins and fell back in a swoon as the barbed steel shafts covered him. The chariot stopped and vanished beneath the hail of arrows. Losing his patience, Arjuna decided to invoke the Brahmastra weapon. He fixed a golden arrow to his bow and chanted the sacred mantras to bring the awful weapon into being. With consummate skill, he directed it at his foes, continuously firing long shafts imbued with the power of the Brahmastra. A solid wall of blazing arrows went toward the Samsaptakas. The warriors fell to earth with their heads, arms, and legs severed. Chariots were smashed into fragments and elephants cut to pieces. Horses and riders fell dead by the thousands. The whole army appeared to be on fire, struck by the beautiful but deadly shafts shot by Arjuna's mystic powers. Krishna returned to his senses and said, "Well done, Partha. I think this feat of weaponry would have been hard for Indra, Kuvera, or even Yamaraj himself. Our enemies are routed. Those staying in the fight are being slain like insects entering a fire." Arjuna asked Krishna to go quickly to Bhagadatta. He could return later to deal with the rest of the Samsaptakas and their supporting armies. As swift as the wind, the chariot flew over the battlefield and soon arrived where the battle with Bhagadatta was taking place. Seeing Arjuna entering the fight, Duryodhan detailed a large force of chariot fighters to attack him. They rushed in a body toward Arjuna and rained their arrows, darts, and lances upon him. Bearing the attack with fortitude, Arjuna continuously worked the Gandiva bow and sent whistling shafts at all the warriors who came at him. Fearless of their lives, the Kaurava troops charged at Arjuna with shouts and roars. The Pandava cut them down with his arrows, just as a farmer cuts a field of wheat. Seeing Arjuna annihilating the troops, Bhagadatta raced toward him. He showered a downpour of arrows onto Arjuna's chariot and directed Supratika to trample him. Arjuna calmly resisted his attack with volleys of his own shafts, even as the shore resists the ocean. The two warriors hurled about the battlefield, locked in deadly combat. Bhagadatta sent hundreds of arrows at both Arjuna and Krishna, but Kunti's son cut them down before they could reach him. Supratika charged at Arjuna like a mountain rocking across the field. Impervious to Arjuna's arrows, the animal screamed in fury as it bore down on the golden chariot. Krishna masterfully drove the horses and evaded the charge, feinting to the left of the beast. As he passed at Bhagadatta's side, Arjuna saw his opportunity to slay the unprotected warrior and his animal. But remembering the rules of combat, he desisted from the act. Seeing Arjuna's chariot slipping past, Bhagadatta's elephant was overpowered by rage and ran pell-mell through the Pandava forces. Hundreds of chariots and their warriors, horses and charioteers, were crushed and slaughtered. Arjuna was infuriated by Bhagadatta's remorseless attack. Moving quickly to the front, he sped four arrows at him, which cut apart his bow. With two more arrows, he slew the two warriors who sat behind Bhagadatta. The Pragotish monarch threw 14 lances at Arjuna in quick succession. Those jewel-encrusted javelins with shining steel points blazed as they sped toward the Pandava, their many small bells tinkling delightfully. Arjuna immediately shot arrows that cut each of the lances into three pieces. As the lances fell to the earth, he fired another dozen shafts that broke Supratika's armor. It fell from the elephant's body in fragments, like meteors falling from the heaven. The dark beast then appeared like a mountain, suddenly freed of its surrounding clouds. Bhagadatta hurled a long dart at Arjuna, its tip glowing red and emitting sparks as it flew. Arjuna calmly cut it into two with a single razor-headed shaft. He then cut the king's white umbrella and tall standard. With a further 10 shafts, he pierced Bhagadatta, who replied with 24 long lances. One of the lances struck Arjuna's helmet and knocked it from his head. Replacing his helmet, Arjuna gazed at Bhagadatta with steely eyes. He shouted out, "Take a last look at this world, O king!" Bhagadatta quickly took up a new bow and covered Arjuna and Krishna with a shower of barbed arrows. Arjuna released a cluster of flat-headed shafts that cut his bow to pieces and pierced all of his limbs. Taking up his golden hook, Bhagadatta thought of the Vaishnav weapon, which was in his possession. Reciting the mantras to invoke that irresistible weapon, he charged his elephant hook with its potency and hurled it at Arjuna. All the warriors witnessing the fight between Arjuna and Bhagadatta gasped as they saw that missile, capable of killing all creatures, fly toward Arjuna. Suddenly, Krishna stood up from his place on the chariot. Throwing out his arms, he received the weapon full on his chest. As it struck him, it turned into a garland of celestial flowers and draped itself around his neck. Arjuna was mortified. Why had Krishna interfered? Keeping his eyes on Bhagadatta, who had been stunned by Krishna's thwarting of the Vaishnav missile, he said, "O lotus-eyed one, your promise was that you would drive my horses and never enter the fight. Why have you interceded? I could understand you taking it upon yourself to protect me when I am incapable or about to fall. But here I stand with all my faculties and weapons. Not even the combined celestials and asuras could defeat me. How have you felt it necessary to act as you just did?" Slowly circling the chariot around Bhagadatta, Krishna replied, "Hear, O sinless one, the origin of the weapon that Bhagadatta released for your destruction. Long ago, when I awoke from slumber in my form as Mahavishnu, the earth goddess came to me seeking a boon. Knowing that I was inclined to grant favors at that time, she said, 'Please bestow upon my son Naraka the Vaishnav weapon. Let it be that he cannot be slain by any being.' I replied, 'O goddess, it shall be so. Your son will be invincible, protected by my weapon.' She then went away, and her son received the weapon, which he later passed on to Bhagadatta. This weapon can slay any being within the three worlds, including Indra and Rudra. Therefore, for your sake, O Arjuna, I baffle the missile. Now you may slay your opponent, this implacable enemy of the gods, Bhagadatta, even as in days gone by I slew Naraka in a great fight.' Understanding that Krishna had saved his life, Arjuna fixed his gaze on Bhagadatta. He swiftly covered him with hundreds of straight-flying shafts. As Bhagadatta parried the attack, Arjuna took up a long golden lance. He drew it back, and invoking the power of Indra, hurled it with all his strength at Supratika. It pierced deep into the elephant's head, right up to its golden wings. Supratika stopped in his tracks, his limbs paralyzed. Although goaded by Bhagadatta, he slowly fell to earth like an enormous hill, uprooted by a thunderbolt. As his elephant screamed, Bhagadatta leapt from its back. Before Bhagadatta reached the ground, Arjuna shot a crescent-headed shaft that tore open his breast and cut his heart into two. His bright turban fell from his head like a petal falling from a lotus whose stem has been violently struck. He dropped to the earth with his golden garland broken and scattered. His arms and legs spread akimbo. He appeared like a god fallen from heaven when his pious credits have expired. Arjuna circumambulated his foe in respect. Then, turning his chariot toward the Kaurava army, he rushed back into battle. Shakuni's two brothers then attacked Arjuna with mighty yells. They were backed by 1,000 Gandhara horsemen. The warriors fell upon Arjuna, releasing hundreds of arrows. Unperturbed, Arjuna took up a couple of razor-headed shafts and beheaded both princes. The horrified Shakuni then charged at Arjuna, invoking a mystical asura weapon. He spread a fearful illusion that covered the Pandava. Clubs, iron balls, rocks, darts, barbed shafts, bludgeons, swords, tridents, axes, and other weapons fell on Arjuna from all sides. Ferocious animals, burning with hunger, attacked him, along with rakshasas, carnivorous birds, and demons. A thick gloom enveloped his chariot, and harsh voices reproached him from out of the darkness. Arjuna invoked the lustrous celestial weapon known as the Gotishka, and the darkness dispelled. All his illusory assaults vanished, but huge waves of water then appeared and rushed toward him. Arjuna quickly discharged the Aditya weapon to dry up the waters. Seeing his illusions nullified, Shakuni turned and took to his heels like a cowardly deserter. Arjuna turned on the Gandhara forces and slaughtered them like a lion killing small animals. Other Kaurava warriors charged into the fray, and a general fight ensued between the two armies. Yudhisthira remained near Arjuna, with Drishtadyumna and Satyaki by his side. The Kaurava forces were broken and dispersed by Arjuna and Bhima, who fought together like a couple of enraged gods. Abhimanyu fought with Karna, keeping the powerful warrior engaged, while Drishtadyumna directed his weapons at Drona. As the foremost fighters contended, Arjuna drove back Duryodhana's huge army with his hundreds of thousands of shafts. Bhima spun around on foot, creating a carnage with his whirling mace. Drona fought intensely, but he could not find any opportunity to seize Yudhisthira. He slew numerous powerful fighters and wrought a massive destruction among the soldiers, but the invincible Satyaki guarded Yudhisthira closely and, assisted by Drishtadyumna and the Panchala forces, kept Drona at bay. As the sun reached the meridian, Drona, seeing the Kauravas getting the worst of the fight, decided to regroup. He sounded the retreat and recalled the vast army to the western side of the field where they were encamped. Duryodhana was angry. "O preceptor, why have you not fulfilled your vow? You did not capture Yudhisthira, and now Arjuna ranges unchecked across the field. Are your words to prove false?" Drona felt his patience tried. "It does not behoove you to address such harsh words to one who is always striving to serve you. I have told you many times that no one in the universe can conquer Arjuna. He has even held the three-eyed Mahadev in battle. Now that Yudhisthira is aware of your aims, he is keeping himself well guarded. It will be difficult to capture him. But I will try my utmost. My word that I will kill one mighty hero will be kept. I will now form an array that even the gods could not penetrate. The remaining Shamshaptakas should again challenge Arjuna and take him to the southern side of the field. We will then try to trap Yudhisthira, and in so doing will at least take the life of someone who comes to protect him." Drona gazed across at the Pandava army. If one of their principal fighters could be killed, it would be a blow to their morale. He decided to form the Kauravas into the Chakravyuha, the circular array. That arrangement would likely result in one of the Pandava heroes being trapped, perhaps even Yudhisthira. Only Arjuna knew the secrets of that formation. No one else among the Pandavas could resist or break it. unless, that is, Arjuna had taught it to someone else. Drona began giving commands. He would soon find out.